Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Tonight, I'm excited. I have a right now word for you, and I believe it's life-changing. I'm going to share some things with you tonight that I've never known in all my life, revelation on this subject that God's given me. Isn't that just like the Bible? Yes. You think you read a scripture one time and then you get something new the next time you read it. You know, it's alive, isn't it? Yes. Two-edged sword. So just follow along, get something to take notes, follow along, pray for me that I speak, you know, with clarity and accuracy and that you receive it and falls on good ground and it changes your life. Amen. Amen. So here's what I want to talk about, the mindset of a tither, the mindset of a tither. Tonight's part one, next Wednesday night will be part two, the mindset of a tither. And I know that I'm talking to three groups of people because not only now, but, you know, this goes on our website. People can listen to the Wednesday night service when they go on our website. And so I'm talking to three groups of people. Number one, I'm talking to all of you tonight who are tithers. Okay, on this side, I guess it's okay. On this side, this is where I got to work tonight, right? This is okay. So that's a no-brainer. I just assume you are. I don't check the books. You can ask the Treasury Department, the accounting. I don't go through and check who tithe and who doesn't. I have no idea. I just assume you all do. Because it's biblical principle, right? So I'm talking to people who are tithers. Number two, I'm talking to people who don't tithe. Number three, I'm talking to people who used to tithe and they've stopped tithing. So again, three groups of people. Number one, those, and I pray you're all the first group, that you tithe. And the second group would be those who don't tithe. The third group would be those who used to tithe because of financial difficulty or whatever, they stopped tithing. Okay, so I think I'm covering the whole gamut, right? You know, when I was in second and third and fourth grade, you know, my mom and dad were old school, and they didn't give us allowance. We didn't get any allowance as kids growing up. And so in my second and third and fourth grade, how I made money to buy a cherry Coke and beef jerky at the corner sundry. Real important stuff, right? Real healthy stuff. I got my money through, in second, third, and fourth grade, I mowed lawns. And you know what? The lawnmower I had was old school, the kind with no motor, that just the blades. It tells you how old I am, right? That was the lawnmower I used. You know, you had to sharpen the blades. And so I mowed lawns. And in the winter, I would scoop snow off the sidewalks of the neighbors. So I mowed lawns in the summer, in the winter, I scooped snow off, and I did that second, third, and fourth grade. But in fifth and sixth grade, I got promoted to a paper route, okay? And, you know, I'm a high achiever, as you know, I'm driven. So it wasn't enough to have a daily route, you know, Monday through Saturday. I wanted the weekend Sunday morning, because you got paid more on Sunday morning because the paper was thicker. Do y'all remember that? And so I not only had the daily paper route, but I had the weekend, the Sunday. And on Sunday mornings, I grew up in Iowa. It snows up there in the winter. Gets real cold, more than down here, okay? And on Sunday mornings, I had to get up at 4:30, and I had to go to the paper route office, and you had to get your paper together, fold it, put it in your bag, get on your bike. And I would deliver papers at 5:30 a.m. on Sunday morning so people would have their paper when they got up for coffee, breakfast on Sunday morning. So in the fifth and sixth grade, you know, I had a paper route, and I made a whole lot of money, $6 a week. I was in high cotton, $6 a week. But I remember my dad telling me, you know, I can still remember my dad telling me he was a deacon in the church, and he was over the accounting department, Maryland. He was over the accounting. This is a church of 1,000 people. And my dad did that volunteer, okay? And so my dad said, okay, Dave, you have a paper route. You're saving up for a Swin Stingray bicycle. If you want that, you better start tithing. Okay, so my dad taught me when I was in the fifth and sixth grade to be a tither. I appreciate that because parents should be teaching their children, right? But he never told me why. He just said, Dave, you need to be a tither. So a tithe, which means a tenth, in the Hebrew, tithe means tenth. So he said, 10% of $6 is 60 cents. So he said, you need to tithe 60 cents and then give an offering above that of a dime. Okay? I said, okay. So I'm thankful for that, but he never told me why. Tonight and next Wednesday night, I want to tell you why be a tither. And I want to help you get more in 2024 out of your giving. Okay? You know, this last Sunday, I was talking about how our heart, we prepare it to go into the face of God, before the presence of God, and how God looks at our heart, how we need to prepare our heart as we do that, how that God doesn't receive every offering if the heart is wrong. I use Cain and Abel. If you were here, you were with me. Cain and Abel, why God received one and not the other, right? Cain gave from the ground. The ground's cursed. Okay, that was when religion started. Religion started in Genesis chapter 4. That's this last weekend. Go to our website if you want with me and download that and listen to this last weekend service. Okay, so I want to share with you tonight on how that I want to see you receive more in 2024 and get more out of your giving. Like you heard me say tonight, when you and I give in the offering, it's more than money. It's more than money. It's not just money. It's more than money. And if I want God to bless my tithe in me, I have to do it the way he wants me to do it. Remember, Cain did it his way, right? It didn't work, right? Abel did it God's way, all right? But Cain didn't. So I want to be a tither God's way. I want to have a biblical mindset so you and I can receive the most from our giving. Proper perspective on tithing. That's what I want to give you tonight and next Wednesday night. Proper perspective on tithing. I want to help you get more out of your giving. I know a lot of us are struggling right now. A lot of people are just barely getting by. They're doing side hustles under financial pressure. I don't want anybody I pastor to be in that predicament. So that's why I'm teaching tonight, next Wednesday night, on the mindset of a tither to help you get more out of your giving. It's God's will to prosper you. Do you believe that? It's God's will to prosper you. Turn to somebody and say, I think he's talking about you tonight. Yeah. God's will is to prosper you. That's the will of God. Now, why does God want to prosper us? For influence and impact. For influence and impact. The more resources we have, the more options we have. Are you with me? The more money you make, the more options you have where you live, what you drive, where you eat, and what you wear, what you give to, what you contribute to. The more resources a person has, the more options they have for influence and impact, okay? Influence and impact. That's why I want to see you receive more from your giving in 2024. It's to fund your life mission. Everything costs money. I had somebody tonight before the service text me from California, not a preacher, text me from California and said, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Could you give me some money? Okay, this is a Navy SEAL. All right, very successful guy, great guy. But what is he saying? I need money to fulfill my mission. Pastor Blunt, can you give me some money? He had no qualms about asking for that, okay? So why am I teaching on this? So you can have the money to fund your life mission because it costs to run your race and fulfill your life mission. We don't want to waste our life. We don't want to fall short because we didn't have the resources, okay? Why am I teaching on this? So that you can leave an inheritance to the third generation. So you can leave an inheritance to your children's children. So you receive more, so you can give more, so you can do more, so that you can fund your mission, so that you can leave an inheritance, so you won't be under financial pressure. That's why I'm teaching on this tonight and next Wednesday night. To have provision for your vision. To have provision for your vision. Wow. I know I'm moving along really quick, but am I connecting with you? The why? It's all about helping you, okay? It's not about money. The tithe and the offering is much more than money. It's not about money. To have provision for your vision, if I do it the right way. It's prosperity for generosity, not greed. It's prosperity for generosity, not greed. You know, you hear me say a lot of times when we receive the offering that when you and I give, we're breaking the spirit of greed off our life and we're releasing a spirit of generosity on our life. Breaking the spirit of greed off our life, releasing a spirit of generosity on our life when we tithe and when we give offerings. Okay. The definition of a tithe is 10%. 10%. Tithing is not just giving money. It's an act of faith and an act of worship. It's an act of faith and an act of worship. Can you say that with me? It's an act of faith and it's an act of worship. You probably don't realize this, but I've taught it for 40 years here. The offering is just as much worship as the songs we sing for 20 minutes. It's just as much worship as hearing and setting and obeying and applying the Word of God. That the offering is an act of your faith and it's an act of your worship and honor to God. That right there, if you get what I just already said was worth coming out tonight, because it will shift. It'll give you the right perspective. It'll give you the right mindset so you can receive more from your giving. I've been in church all my life. I've seen people who tithe and they're broke all the time. They're broke all the time. Why? They tithe. Remember, God doesn't receive every offering I give him. I have to do it his way to get the full benefit of it. I have to do it God's way to get the full benefit of it, okay? So let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to look at the father of our faith, Abraham. Now, if you were with me Sunday, I told you that the first man mentioned in the Bible who had faith was Abel. If you were with me, just fake it till you make it. You might have been sleeping if you were here, but I'm reminding you that I told you Sunday, the first man in the Bible recorded as having faith was Abel. Abraham is the fourth man in the Bible recorded as having faith. Abraham is the fourth man in the Bible recorded as having faith. But let me throw this in. His faith was stronger than any other faith before him. Abraham's faith was at another level. Abraham's faith was at another level. Abraham's faith was stronger than any of those who preceded him in the Bible. Notice, it doesn't tell us that Abel is the father of our faith. Noah is the father of our faith. No, it says that Abraham is the father of our faith, and we're to follow in his footsteps. Are you with me? Okay. And Abraham is the first guy in the Bible who tithed. Abraham is the first, he has the law of first mention. The first time the tithe is mentioned is with Abraham, the father of our faith, who is our role model and example for faith. Okay? He had a faith that no one in the Bible had preceding him. Abraham had a revelation of God no one else had preceding him. Abraham had a revelation of God no one else had preceding him. And so we see the law of first mention. Now, I've done this for a lot of times, and people who don't want to tithe throw this up to me. Tithing is under the law. Wrong. You don't know your Bible if you say that. Tithing was before the law. Tithing, Abraham came before Moses. Moses brought the law. So tithing is not a law, it's a principle. It's a principle from Genesis all the way through the New Testament. Even Jesus said in Matthew 22, you ought to tithe. We'll look at Hebrews next Wednesday night. They say that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, it says you ought to tithe. Then you have the grace movement today that people say, you know, that it's more than just tithing. And, you know, really, tithing is elementary. It's kindergarten. If you believe in the grace movement, you're supposed to give way above the tithe much, 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 much more, even than that. Okay? So let's look at the father of our faith, our example that we're to follow, the first man in the Bible who tithed, and as his act of faith and worship, he gave God the tithe. So let's look at it. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Don't y'all love technology? Hallelujah. Praise God. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, and that would be us tonight, right? Yes. Those of you who are born again, the same are the children of Abraham. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Praise the Lord. Okay, here we go. All right, verse 9. So then they which be of faith are what? Blessed with faithful Abraham. So Abraham, not Noah, he's not our father of our faith, or the three that preceded, not Abel, the three that preceded Abraham, he's the fourth man in the Bible recorded as having faith. But his faith outshined, outdone, was higher than anyone who preceded him. He had a revelation of God that none before him had. So notice that those who are of faith, in other words, those who are Christians, those who are born again, those who received Christ, are blessed and faithful with the faithful Abraham. Okay? Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a cross. Verse 14, why did Jesus, you know, we're going to celebrate in a week Easter, right? Yeah. Okay, why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So if I'm in Christ, then the blessing that was upon Abraham is mine. It's yours. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How do we receive it? Through faith. Now, notice with me in this verse that the blessing, it doesn't say blessings. It's not plural. It's singular. That the blessing, not blessings, but the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Verse 29. And if you're Christ, in other words, if you're born again, you're a Christian, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So in other words, what God promised Abram, who became Abraham, is your promise as well. The blessing that he put on Abram, who became Abraham, is your blessing as well. Y'all with me, family? Okay. So Galatians 3, verse 6, in the Passion Translation, I'm going to read it rather quickly. Abraham, our father of faith, he's our role model. We're to follow his example. He was the first tither in the Bible. Abraham, our father of faith, led the way as our pioneering example. Our pioneering example. It's called leadership. He believed God, and the substance of his faith released God's righteousness to him. I'm going to move right along for sake of time. I was going to do that with the Passion Translation. But let's go to Genesis now in chapter 14, Old Testament, Genesis 14. And we're going to read a story of where these enemy kings and armies came in and they took Abram and his people. He took the wives, the children, the spoil, all the stuff they had, okay? The enemy came in, took all of that, all right? And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Ar, and these were confederate with Abram. Look at verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. There were 318. So notice, he's taken 318 men who he had trained. I guess that's leadership, right? Who he had trained, 318, and they're going to go after these armies of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of soldiers. He took 318 and went after these large armies. What's the principle? That little with God is more than much with your enemy. Are you with me? That few with God can overtake much with the enemy. What do we learn from that? That you and I shouldn't be living overwhelmed because we feel like we're outnumbered or the odds are against us. Maybe you're here tonight or you're listening and you say, I just can't get ahead, that everything is against me. I can't, 2 feet forward, 3 feet back, the odds are against me. I'm outnumbered, I'm overwhelmed. That mindset is a mindset that will take you to failure. The mindset of lack will always sabotage what God wants to do in your life. That was worth tweeting. The mindset of lack and not having enough, being outnumbered, being overwhelmed, the odds are against me because the color of my skin, the odds are against me because of my background, education, or lack, the odds are against me because I don't know the movers and the shakers, the odds are against me because I can't get in the circle with the supervisor where I work. That mindset will sabotage what God wants to do in your life. It will limit and restrict and cause you to fail in life and live as a failure. You can't focus on what you don't have, who you don't know, where you can't go, and succeed in life. That was worth Wednesday night, right there. Because so many people right now are focusing on their lack, what they don't have, who they don't know, where they can't go, all the above. Focusing on, I'm such little, insignificant, nobody knows me. The few, 318, with the Holy Ghost, the anointing on them, if God be for me, who can dare be against me, was more than enough for those several armies that had come in and stolen from them. Am I communicating? That is worth being a member of Church on the Rock. If I can just break that spirit of, you know, everybody's against me, nobody's for me, I don't know the right people, don't have the right job, was raised in the wrong city, live in the wrong neighborhood, have the wrong color of skin, don't have a personality, that's lack thinking, that's living overwhelmed, thinking that because you have little, God can't do much. Isn't there a scripture in the Bible that says, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. As you look around a Church on the Rock, and today you got to look at the whole month, okay? Because people come once a month. You got to look at the whole month, all right? So it all started with 35 people. It all started with 35 people. So don't despise small beginnings. So he takes his 318 men that he has trained and equipped, verse 15, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants. Now look, God's giving him a strategy. There's no victory without a strategy. God has a strategy for your health. God has a strategy for your wealth, your prosperity. God has a strategy for you to pay off your credit cards. God has a strategy for you to be successful. There's no victory without a strategy. And you know what he tells him? God tells Abram, divide your 318, come from two different sides, and do it at night. God has a strategy for you if you and I are in a position to receive his strategy. Okay? So he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night. And look at this. The few overcame the many. The few overcame the odds. The few overcome being outnumbered, so much in debt, so much against me. Can't get a good job. No one will help me. You got to get rid of that stinking thinking, or you're going to sabotage what God wants to do in your life. So he divided himself into two, his servants by night, and smote them, look at this, and pursued them all the way to Damascus, verse 16, and he brought back, he got the victory. He brought back all the goods, also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods and the women and the people. Oh, I love that. It's called recover, right? And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the kings that were with him at the valley, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, everyone say Melchizedek. This is the high priest. He's a type and shadow of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He's a type and a shadow of our high priest, Jesus Christ. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, which later became Jerusalem, what did he do? Communion. Brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, back then what they would do is they would put gods or idols on top of the mountains. And whoever was the strongest god in their eyes was at the Most High mountain. They would worship different gods and different idols, and they put them on top of the mountains. But the one they considered to be the Most High God they worshiped was on the highest peak of the highest mountain, okay? But notice it says that Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God that you sang about tonight, the name of Jesus, right? That name is above any other God's name, right? We serve the Most High God. Oh, I like it. And he blessed him. Oh, look what the high priest did. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Notice he put the blessing on him. He didn't give him blessings. He put the blessing on him. Now remember, we read earlier, if I'm in Christ, I'm a seed of Abraham. And the blessing, not lots of blessings, but the blessing, not a blessing, but the blessing that the priest put on him is on me tonight, on you tonight, as a seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. So I want you to listen to this, because Abram did five things. He did five things, all right? He did five things. And we're going to look at it, hopefully, if we have time tonight, if not next week. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Verse 20. "And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hands." So what did Abram do? As a result of the victory of the battle, God delivered him from all of his enemies. The revelation that Abram, notice that Abram served the Most High God. He had a revelation of God that no one before him had. You and I should be giving out of our revelation of God the tithe and the offering. Not because a preacher begs us, forces us, gives us sad pictures of children starving to get us to give. We should willingly want to, can't wait, be cheerful givers, giving God the tithe and the offering, because he delivered us from all of our enemies last week. Because we have a revelation that he's above every other god that would try to come against me. Amen. He had a revelation of God that no one that preceded him had. So, "And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hands." And what did Abram do? He gave him tithes of all, the whole tithe. Didn't break it up, didn't split it up, gave the whole tithe. First law of mention, first tither in the Bible, is the father of our faith. So notice he did it out of faith and he did it out of worship. Out of faith and out of worship. Verse 21. "And the king of Sodom said to Abram, 'Give me the persons and take the goods to yourself.'" Notice it was generosity, not greed. Prosperity is for generosity. Prosperity has a purpose, not greed. Prosperity has a purpose to be more generous with the resources God has given us and not self-consume them. Okay? How to get more out of my giving in 2024. Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor, look at this, the possessor of heaven and earth. What is he saying? He's saying, I have, this is Abram, hand lifted is sign of oath and covenant. He said, I have access to everything in heaven, and I have access to everything on this earth because I'm a tither to the Most High God. Did you understand what I just said? The Bible says the earth belongs to God, right? And everything in it. So Christians should have the best that the earth and heaven has to offer. Because when you're a tither, you're in covenant with God, and you realize the revelation, now that I'm tithing, everything that's in heaven and everything on this earth, people, network, resources, creativity, money, houses, cars, trucks, vans, everything I need to fulfill my lifelong mission, I have access to because I serve the Most High God who possesses everything in heaven I need, everything in earth I need, both worlds I have access to fulfill my life mission. Wow. That I will not take from a thread, even to a shoelace, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Notice the prosperity was for generosity and not greed. Wow, powerful. Verse 24, save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the man which went with me, and he names them all, let them have their portion. So five things he did. Oh, I'm just about out of time. Am I helping anybody tonight? Are you getting a different perspective on the tithe and the offering? See, when I put my tithe in the offering, I should then realize that I have access to every resource, and I should have the best of the best on the planet and in heaven because I'm a child of the Most High God. I don't deserve it. I'm not entitled to it. Jesus purchased it for me to fulfill his plan for my life. Five things he did. Number one, he received the blessing. Not a blessing, the blessing. He received the blessing. We're going to define that probably next Wednesday night. Number two, he worshiped the Most High God. Remember, he said, I'm a worshiper of the Most High God. Tithing and giving is an act of worship. It's not tipping. It's not being forced. It's not doing it reluctantly. If I do, I won't receive all I should out of my giving. I need a revelation of what I'm teaching tonight and next Wednesday night. Most High God, he worshiped God. It's an act of worship. The Most High God, remember, they put their gods and their idols on top of the mountains, the heathen. And then the one that they worship the most, they put on the highest mountain at the top. And Abraham was saying, I serve a God above all your little gods. There ain't no God like my God, the Most High God. Number three, he saw God as possessor of all that's in heaven and all that's on the earth. We have access to all in both worlds. That right there is worth coming Wednesday night. Number four, he declares God delivers him from all his enemies. The enemy of depression, the enemy of discouragement, the enemy of insomnia, the enemy of stress, strife, offense, hurt, fear, anxiety, worry, codependency, entitlement. All those enemies, he delivers us from all, not some, but all our enemies. My giving is attached to my victory over all my enemies. Whoa, praise God. Somebody says, you know, Pastor, are you teaching that when I give to God, I should expect something back? Right on, right? Now, religious people don't want to hear that, okay? But when you and I give to the Lord the right way, we should expect a return. Am I right? Okay, you see, let me give you an illustration. All right, let's say I go someplace tomorrow afternoon. I'm someplace and there's a Coke machine. And I put money in that Coke machine. And I don't get a Coke. What do? That's right. I start kicking it, cussing, kicking, hitting. I'm expecting a return on giving money to a machine to give something back to me. So that practical and that simple in the natural, if you expect something out of a machine when you put money in it, don't you expect something back from God when you do it God's way, when you put it into his kingdom? I think so. So he declares that God delivers him. So when you and I tithe Sunday, Wednesday, throughout the week online, you should be declaring the victory over what you're facing. You should be declaring the victory over what you're facing. Fear of the future, insecurity, the unknown, family, stress, strife. You should be declaring. We're going to find out next Wednesday night. You're supposed to say something over your offering. That's why we make that confession every service on the weekend. It's biblical. Number five, as the team comes, he gave tithes of all. He gave tithes of all. Talking about the blessing that comes as a result of our tithe and our offering. Now, I'm going to skip through this because of time and the team's coming. But I want to talk about that, but I won't. So here's the takeaways. Get a new and fresh revelation of God. Let's pray the Ephesian prayer, Church on the Rock, that we get a new and fresh revelation of God. Abram, who became Abraham, had a revelation of God that no one before him had in the Bible. Number two, takeaway, get a new and fresh revelation of tithing. Go back and study your notes tonight. Go to the podcast, listen to it over and over again, because you'll get something new every time you do. Revelation bursts, revelation. You don't get it just one time. Folks, I worked 40 hours for this message tonight. That's why I said, I don't have 40 hours to waste. I got a 10-year plan. I expect to be here 10 more years, and then I'm out of here at 80, okay? So I don't have time to waste. So I'm not going to waste it if people don't receive it, respect it, and honor it. I know y'all do, okay? But we got to get a new and fresh revelation of tithing. So listen to this over and over again. Read these scriptures over and over again, and you'll get more. Don't just listen to me one time. You're not getting the full benefit. You're not getting the full benefit from my teaching if all you do is listen to it one time. You're not. I can tell you're just doing that. Gotcha. Number three, release your faith when you tithe. Release your faith when you tithe. Release your faith when you tithe. And let me give you a hint. How do you release your faith? The first way you release your faith is with your mouth. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. The first way you release your faith is with your mouth. So you need to be making some confessions when you bring your tithe and your offering. Number four, release it with an act of worship. Release it with an act of worship. It's not money. It's much, much more than money. It's an act of worship. Abram was worshiping God in a level no one before him had. He's the first one. Notice, God didn't ask him for the tithe. Did y'all notice that? God didn't ask him for the tithe. He gave it willingly out of an act of worship. He couldn't wait to give back to the God who had delivered him and restored his family with much, much more. God didn't ask him to tithe. He did it willingly. He did it out of love and honor and worship. Release it with an act of worship when you tithe. Number five, declare victory over all your enemies. Hallelujah. When you tithe.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.